Ja, Mann, ja. Right, are you all set, Peter? You ready to go? Righto. You ready, Alison? Right, okay. Gabriel? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this meeting of the Waverley Development Assessment Panel. Rather than the organisation that appeared in this role previously, under the voluntary arrangements made by Waverley Council, we now appear under the new legislation, panel appointed in various ways by the government and selection made in various ways by the chair of the panel is to the constitution of each individual panel. You'll appreciate that all of the panel members are chosen for their expertise in relation to the likely matters that would come before the panel, and that they will be applying that expertise in making the determinations that they make today. I'm asked to inform you that in accordance with the new regime, the proceedings are being recorded, and so that you should be aware of the fact that your pearls of wisdom or otherwise are being kept for posterity. The number of panel members has been reduced. There is now a chair and three panel members, two panel members who are appointed as experts and one as a community representative. The community representative also happening to have the requisite qualifications to be an expert as well. My name is Angus Talbot. My background is in the law. I was a solicitor for too long to remember. I was also at the bar for 10 years before being appointed to the bench of the Land and Environment Court, where I sat for 15 years, and since then I've done odd bits and pieces about the same sort of area, consulting, mediation, and these panels. I'll ask each other member of the panel to introduce themselves and to explain to you quickly just what their expertise is in relation to the matters that they will be deciding, and I'll start on my left. Peter.
Peter Brennan, I'm a town planner with over 40 years of experience. I'm a former director of planning of here at Waverley Council. More recently, I've been sitting on the state government's joint regional planning panels, as well as panels here at Waverley and North Sydney Council.
Thank you.
My name is Gabrielle Morrish. I'm an urban design architect. I have experience both in state government, local government, and in private practice, and I have been operating on a number of new panels, as well as I have panels around the state for the last 30 years.
Alison.
Hi, my name is Alison Small. My background is architecture and also now project management. I've worked for large architectural practices. I've run my own architectural practice for 15 years, and the police department have been involved mainly in design management, project management, but
the way we will proceed, thank you, panel members. The way we will proceed is that the items will come before us in the order that they appear on the agenda, and those persons who have registered to speak will be asked to come forward to the chair in the middle, and they will be given 3 minutes in which to make their point. In that respect, there's no point in reiterating over and over again, where there are multiple submissions on the one development, the same issues, because they don't become any more forceful by being repeated. you're before an expert panel. They're quite capable of assessing it on one submission. I only say that in a general sense. I'm not suggesting that anyone is necessarily going to fall into that trap. But the 3 minutes is enforced. There will be an alarm when the 3 minutes is expended, and in fairness to everybody, then you should cease to continue. After all of the submissions have been heard, the panel will retire. The decisions will be made this afternoon, and the outcome will be published on the council's website immediately they have been finalised. So, proceeding to the agenda, the first matter relates to a development application in respect of number 24 Mackenzie Street, Bondi Junction. We have been to the site. Nobody has registered to make a submission by way of oral submission, so the panel will make its determination after it hears the other submissions in respect to the other matters. We move on to item number two, which is number 28 Ruthven Street, Bondi Junction, for alterations and additions to the rear of an existing dwelling. The panel visited the site this morning, and I'm safe saying it all the time, we've visited all of the sites this morning, and in some cases we've visited adjoining properties or objectors' properties, so we're familiar with what's there because we've been there. The only person registered to speak in relation to 28 Ruthven Street is, on behalf of the applicant, Andrew Bannister. Thank you, Mr. Bannister. That seat there, then the one in the middle, yes, thank you.
Okay.
And I think you'll see the properties up, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Your time starts now, Mr. Bannister. Thank you.
Cool. Just thank you for your time today and also for the opportunity just to address a couple of points in regards to the application. Firstly, with the neighbour's response regarding the wall that separates the two properties, from our side, really, I suppose, that wall is in disrepair at the moment. It is actually falling down, mainly because it wasn't built originally correctly. So we had to actually brace that wall up last year, and we consider it to be a bit of a danger, health and safety, to the children that we have living at our house. And part of the renovation that we put forward, we would actually be replacing that wall, making sure that it is correctly built, and also at no financial burden to the neighbour, we'll be taking on that financial duty ourselves. The second point I have really was to agree with the council's recommendation that we don't extend the balcony, which you can see in the window there, in terms of size, etc. And we're quite happy to go with that. The only submission that we'd ask for is that we can replace it and or repair it, because it is in a situation, again, where it's actually in disrepair and would be in danger of falling down.
It's just that the extension to the back boundary is limited.
Yeah,
exactly. As it does in the condition that you've seen. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have. That's
all right. Thank you. The neighbour showed an interest in keeping the wall, the new wall, as a untreated brick wall.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about that in terms of the way in which the wall is treated?
In terms of its
you intend to render it, I think.
We intended to just render it only because when we because we'll have to replace it, because it's not in a condition to it's freestanding basically at the moment.
The new wall you intend to be a render finish.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we still would like to do that as well. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
The next matter relates to the property 46 Gardine Street, Bronte. An application for modification of development consent relating to the rear terrace, increasing the floor space, reducing the side setback and driveway conditions. And the first person registered to speak at the meeting is Stephanie Innes. Thank you, Ms. Innes.
brought the plan
yes.
you asked me to bring.
Yes, thank you. We visited your site today and you undertook to bring in the plans of your proposal. Thank
yep.
you. Yes, thank you, Mrs. Innes. Your time starts now.
Just to start, I'd like to be clear that our issue is purely related to privacy between the two properties and the owner's ability to look down into our property. We agree with council that the usable space on their balcony should not be included in the planted areas, and that by having the balustrade moved to the edge will only promote its usage. We note the usable area presented to panel at the last August meeting, which we did not get to see or comment on at the time, was actually smaller than what council is now recommending. The approved balcony did not include the concrete bench seat. By incorporating the bench seat into a usable area results in a diminished setback between the properties and a further extension to the east, which compromises our internal privacy. We'd also like to remind the panel that we lodged our own DA last year at the same time as 46, and we were pulled back a further 1 metre on our upper internal level. We did not challenge this recommendation from council on the understanding that number 46's balcony would not protrude beyond what was recommended by council at the time, which was an original maximum depth of 1.5 metres. To now allow this to be extended further east will enable someone to look directly into our main internal dining and balcony areas. I'd also like to make the point that we also had the same overlooking issues with our northern neighbours. Ourselves and 46 are both effectively set back approximately 2 metres from our boundaries, with privacy for the northern neighbours a concern. However, we were told that along with our 2 metre setback, planting was an insufficient solution. Therefore, we had to incorporate additional measures in the form of a horizontal privacy screen off our balcony, along with a chamfered edge. I am unsure why we have not been afforded the same considerations. We acknowledge that the concrete bench seat can act as a privacy measure by increasing setbacks. However, a person standing and sitting on the applicant's balcony will still have a direct line of sight into our approved dining room and balcony. The horizontal screen we incorporated promotes privacy between the properties by blocking downward vision whilst limiting any impact towards views. If the panel feel that we are not entitled to privacy in our dining and balcony areas, we ask that, at the very least, that the panel consider attaching a condition on the concrete bench seat. At the moment, there is nothing stopping the bench seat from being removed in the future and further compromising our privacy. We would request that if the concrete seat is removed, then the balustrade be moved to the position in front of the concrete seat, in line with what was tabled previously. In this instance, we also request that an additional measure is taken to stop them looking down into us, as I'm sure the planting will only be ground cover on the northern edge, offering us no protection. We feel we have demonstrated with our own design that it is possible to achieve this without compromising view aspects. In summary, we are aware that there needs to be a balance between view access and privacy, and that their view corridor is directly over our property. We do not want to stop them looking over us to the view, just their ability to look down into our property. We feel there is an opportunity now to address these matters for the benefit of both parties. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, Brennan? No questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Also listed to speak as an objector is James Lunny on behalf of Brendan Lunny. Decided not to come. Thank you. The applicant, George Karavanis. Wish to address the meeting, Mr. Karavanis?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, you're on behalf of the applicant. You're the planner.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the panel. I have with me Ms. Miriam Green, who's the architect, and she'll be available to answer any questions of the panel as well.
All right, thank you. Your time has started.
Thank you. Now, while we, of course, are happy with the recommendation of the assessment officer's report, we do request the panel to modify three conditions. Firstly, we'd like the panel to modify deferred commencement condition number one relating to the driveway. Secondly, modification of condition 2A relating to the balustrade location.
Sorry, what was the first one? The driveway?
The driveway, and yeah. I'll elaborate on these. Secondly, modify condition 2A by relocating the balustrade, and also modify condition 2A, relocating, changing the balustrade material. And I'll just talk to these very briefly. I've got some documents or some drawings that I'll hand over to you as I'm talking to these matters. Firstly, in respect of the driveway, we are merely seeking the existing crossover to be retained. Our submitted material, and you'll find on pages 3, 4 and 5, demonstrates that the stormwater runoff can be drained directly to Gardine Street, to the gut of Gardine Street, as is the intent of that condition. I don't wish to say anything further, but if there are questions, I'm more than happy to answer those. Secondly, in terms of the location of the balustrade, our second section 96 requested the balustrade be relocated around the periphery of the trafficable area, of the non-trafficable area, rather. In other words, to the edge of the building on the first floor. The intention of that was not, of course, to use that area as trafficable, but rather avoid having a balustrade to a height of 1.45, as you would have to sit on the top of that bench seat that the objector was talking about. Now, we've indicated on page 9 of our material the three options that are available to you. In order to give the panel some comfort that we're not seeking to use the non-trafficable area of the terrace as a terrace grab, so to speak, we would be happy to accept a condition to allow the balustrade to be sited a maximum of 650 millimetres outside the bench seat in order to allow the reduced height of the balustrade at 1 metre, in other words, not having the balustrade sit on top of the bench seat, as you can see on page 9. This will ensure compliance with the BCA. This, in our opinion, will be better for views from the neighbours on the other side because they'll be seeing a lower balustrade. And in order for us to utilise that little trough area, we'd have to climb over the bench and go into a 650mm area, which is not likely to happen. Finally, members of the panel, in respect of the material, we respectfully request Council change the balustrade from a glass balustrade to a metal one. And the reason for that is that the reason why it was imposed, as I understand, was in order to allow views from the neighbouring properties. We're saying, and you can see in page 12, that glass does get dirty. It does have glare, whereas the metal will allow views to be seen through it a lot easier than what the glass would. That's all we'd like to say.
Thank you.
If you'd like to
answer. Any questions? Thank you for your assistance.
Thank you.
Is there no alarm? Is there no alarm for the time? Just me. Item number 4 relates to 8 Jacqueman, or Jacqueman, as I was saying it, Street Bondi. The panel visited the site and the adjoining property this morning. The first person listed to address the panel is Bernadette Crawford, but she's provided a written submission, I think, did she not? Yes, and we understand that that's her submission, and the panel do have it. The next person listed to speak, persons, is Colin and Nicola Peacock, but again we have a written submission. Do you wish to elaborate on that or rely on the written submission, if you're here? No answer, not here. All right, we'll rely on the written submission. Laura Hustable and Jean Nicklin. Which one of you?
Laura Hustable.
I see, you're not two people.
No,
just one of you. Thank you. Peter. You just wishes to read this?
I'd like to read it out.
You'd like to read it out?
Yes, this is my 3 minutes.
I see. All right.
Would you like me to begin?
I'd like to start now. Thank you.
Last October, this panel refused this development for 2 houses of 3 storeys with 2 garages and a pool on 1 505-metre plot, following objections from 65 people in our community. Just before Christmas, these new plans, which we're discussing today, were submitted, which to me tweak a few small things but not address the major concerns which the 65 people set out around loss of privacy from the overdevelopment of having two houses on one plot. Please note that the period for locals to object fell in late January when many were on holiday, and hence we technically have 39 objections this time. I'd like the panel to note that the reduction in objections is likely to have been the holiday period, and if the original 65 objections were reviewed in light of these new plans, it would be noted that the main issues in those objections around FSR and subdivision rules would still apply. The two major guidelines exceeded are the floor space ratio limits exceeded by 20% or 56 metres squared, and the minimum subdivision requirements not met by 21%. I appeal to the panel to request that seven revisions to the development are made. Firstly, that the size of the development is reduced so it's within a more reasonable 10% breach of the guidelines of the floor space ratio. Secondly, that the first floor of the building at the rear is reduced in size so that it doesn't protrude further than the first floor of number 10, i.e. the upstairs back bedrooms are made smaller. Note this exceeds the other side, number 6, by 7 metres or even 11 metres if you include the outdoor terrace area. Three, for privacy, please retention of one tree, number 10, if possible. That's the Persia Americana tree. And this provides enormous amounts of privacy between the two properties, and a lot of this tree grows in Watson Street. Note the proposals to remove all 9 trees classified as unimportant. Fourth, to replace the proposed dwarf lily pilly screening at the rear with two other plants that I suggest that are very hard, that are written down here, that are hard to describe, Bambusa textilis or Cupionoposis. They will be more likely to provide privacy because the lily pilly grows very slowly. Five, to confirm that the outside ground floor black terrace area of plot number 1 is open, i.e. it's uncovered, as this is unclear to us on the plans. And I did go and look at them with the town planner. Six, design of the first floor rear windows are reduced in the amount of glass to provide more privacy to properties at the rear. And finally, a condition, place that the rooftop garden terrace cannot become trafficable in future. Thank you.
Ms. Hustable. I take it that you're the property directly behind.
Yes.
That right?
So.
Yes. Any questions by the panel? We do have
a... Just...
Yes, you want a panel? Yeah, thank you. That wasn't cutting you off. That was
just the names of those species. Do you know the common name for the Bambusa textilis?
I think it's bamboo.
Bamboo.
And the second one, I don't know, but I have got a picture on my phone with it. Yeah. Rather than waste the meeting time, I could perhaps write it down and pass it to you.
There's thousands of variety of bamboo. This is a particular...
Yes.
But we don't have any details of height, clumping, non-clumping, or anything like that.
I don't have it. It was recommended to me. I was told that the lily pilly will grow half a metre a year and won't really provide any screening. And it was suggested to me that those two would... but I can get details to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hustable. The next person listed and I invite forward is Andrew Liggins. Is this again reading out what you're going to say? Is it?
There's some eyes.
Thank you. You were expecting a bigger panel, were you?
Yeah, I was. We had quite a big turnout last time, so I figured there was going to be a few punters.
Yeah.
Okay, so like Laura just said before, we had 39 objections for this particular one, this round. With the major issues, I'll just quickly address those. The major issues were the bulk of the building and its effect on the streetscape. If you can see the pictures there, you'll see how... uniquely different it is. It's largely really just a box compared to the Federation style around. And on the back, the planners actually compared it against a number of different buildings. So I actually compared rather than just the words. Picture says 1,000 words, so you can actually see it pictorially, how it compares against those. One of the other concerns around the actual design is that the actual garages dominate the streetscape altogether. So if you look at Jacqueman, there's really only five houses in the whole of Jacqueman that have got driveways. Each of those houses is a minimum. The minimum of those houses is 378 square metres. They're all on the back page, actually, all listed out. So, and then they all run up to 514 square metres. So, and they're all single driveways. Whereas what we're proposing here is that the one development site is going to be split into two, and two garages which are going to dominate the actual landscape of the actual complete street. The other point of major concern is the significant amount of glass at the front of the building. So we live across the road, and if you look at it today and you imagine that that tree's actually gone in the picture there and the glass is looking, that's actually going to look straight onto the bedrooms across the road, all those properties. So you can see beneath there in that drawing, which is Jacqueman Street 13 to 19, they're all bedrooms. So the balustrade's glass, it's glass there. There's a little bit of cover of greenery, but you know, in my view, I don't think that's going to last too long. I think that'll die, and then you've got complete greenery. So ideal place for a beach setting, but not so much for a residential street like this. So, and I guess one of the things in terms of suggestion would be it needs to be looked in terms of redesign of how that's done so it still maintains privacy. And also possible another suggestion might be not only having one tree on the sort of northern boundary, but also one on the southern boundary, so it actually protects more so both areas of the street. It protects it a little bit, and that's pretty much it.
What number are you?
I'm number nine.
You're number nine, and I just, it was Andrew...
Andrew Liggins, L-I-G-G-I-N-S.
Thanks. Number nine, that's what I want to get. Thanks, Andrew.
Okay. No, so our house is see the house...
13 to 19.
Yeah, so 13 to 19. Ours is on the other side of the 13, well, on that side. So it basically looks like these here in terms of the ones below.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Cathy Pearce.
I've submitted my thing.
Oh, I see.
Thank you. I'm a town planner. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, panel members. First off, we welcome the recommendation that's before you today, and this is the result of working with council since the previous refusal to ensure that we get the best planning outcome on the site. As outlined in the report, the amended proposal has addressed the previous concerns raised by council, and that is why they're recommending approval. The proposed subdivision responds to the subdivision pattern, and overall the proposal provides a cohesive and symmetrical pair of semi-detached dwellings in a two-storey form. The amended design will have a lesser impact on the amenity of adjoining properties, and also in terms of streetscape and visual impact is considered acceptable by the assessing officer. A variation to the lot size standard will actually allow for the proposal to meet the housing needs of the community, whilst also respecting the subdivision pattern. The report outlines that the FSR has been reduced and the floor area as proposed addresses the previous concerns. In particular, I note as well relating to rear setback, that has been increased in accordance with the recommendation that was outlined in the report that was ultimately refused. The development presents as a two-storey form to Jacqueman Street, and the upper level is significantly set back from the front building line to reduce its visibility. This is the bedroom level, and I acknowledge the neighbours raised a concern in terms of glazing to that level, but it will not be visible from the opposite side of the street, and that's indicated in the section that's been provided. The development is fully compliant with the height control, and in particular the front section is almost 2 metres below the 7.5 DCP height control. In terms of overshadowing, the sunlight access has been improved by increasing the rear setback. Parking has been assessed in the report as being sympathetically integrated into the design, and I note that we have one shared driveway with a width of 3 metres at street frontage. In terms of visual and acoustic privacy, the windows have been designed and located to the side elevations to minimise any overlooking. The rear-facing windows are set back from the rear building line at ground level to only allow for upward sight lines, so to minimise overlooking to adjoining properties. I'm happy to answer any questions that the panel has.
Is that still intended to be fully enclosed?
Yes, it is intended to be fully enclosed, and it has been included in the FSR calculation.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mr. Peter? Thank you for your assistance.
Okay, thank you.
Moving on to item number 5, which relates to the property at 60 Lamrock Avenue, Bondi Beach, alterations and additions to a dual occupancy to create a residential flat building containing 4 units, parking, swimming pool and strata subdivision. We've inspected the site and we've visited adjoining properties, and the first person registered to speak by way of objection is Davor Pavlovic. Thank you. I think we inspected your property this morning.
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
I'm going to read from this. Sorry, I'm not much of a public speaker. I reside at Unit 1 of 55 Sir Thomas Mitchell Road with my wife and 2 children. We have lived at this address for 13 years and have not only enjoyed the lifestyle that living so close to the beach offers, but the diversity that is Bondi. Most valued to us is the immediate community in which we live. Being so close to one another and in residence has forced us all to share a little bit of each other's lives, form friendships and find harmony in the everyday. This we have done successfully. The proposed development at 60 Lamrock Avenue not only promises to affect us as a community by increasing the density in which we live and what we all look back onto, with additional balconies and pools, but it also promises to impact my family's house and the way of our life directly. I have 4 concerns. We voiced them numerous times with objection letters, and they've also been voiced by town planner Tony Moody, who's worked with us. The first being the reduction of solar access. We engaged a shadow diagram specialist, and it was quickly pointed out to us that we lost a considerable amount of our already small winter sun. Not only was it the bulk and scale that overshadowed our living area and rear courtyard, but was largely taking light from. But what was largely taking light from us was a proposed sun windows on the eastern side of the development. That's the wedge I pointed out to you this morning. It is noted that a reduction in height of 1 metre has amended the foot A reduction in height of 1 metre has been amended, but the footprint is still the same. The building is to be increased on the eastern side considerably, already eating into what is a natural light corridor to our courtyard and back windows. I don't think it's right or fair that an additional structure takes the last remaining light as an architectural feature, leaving everyone else behind in shadow. The second concern I have is overlooking impact. The window and balcony arrangement on the southern elevation offers us no privacy within our living areas. This is where we spend a large amount of our time. It is my understanding that according to Council's DCP, all windows on level 1 and 2 that look at us should be fixed and frosted to a minimum height of 1500 mil above finished floor level. This will prevent people looking at us directly into us. The balcony balustrade on level 1 I would like to be solid and preferably no less than 1 metre in height to prevent people sitting out on the balcony and looking directly into our lounge room. My third concern is the existing trees that act as a privacy screen. Yet the existing ones have some windows that allow light into our backyard. There's been no landscape drawings given. We're not sure what's going on, whether to be removed to what's being replanted. But if they are to be removed and replanted, I would like to see that as a condition of approval that they're replaced with a deep planting zone with mature native species, not bamboo, that grow to a height that allows privacy but does not reduce outside access. My final concern is the swimming pool. I'm concerned about the proximity of the pool to the boundary from which our living room, kitchen, lounge room, and most importantly my daughter's bedroom are a mere 900 mil. The pool resides in a constant darkness, as pointed out in the shadow diagrams, and will require heavy chlorination to maintain its pH levels. I'm concerned that we'll not be able to escape the smell. As I said, the previous owners are smokers, and when they smoked in the backyard, our household smelt like it was someone smoking inside.
Well, I think you told us that this morning.
I did indeed.
Yes.
I'm repeating myself. I'm also worried about...
Time's gone. Are you ready to sum up?
Yes. I'm pretty much finished. It's just the acoustic... my other concern is just the acoustic...
Well, you explained that to us on the site, I think.
Exactly.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Thank
it's
you.
Been great.
In terms of, just for a moment, in terms of the landscaping, we've called for the detailed plan, so we'll be looking at that.
Oh, there is something in progress. Awesome.
Any questions, Mr. Brennan?
No. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Safe. As you're coming forward, Mr. Safe, I'll note for the record that we did inspect your property this morning and you pointed things out to us. Thank you. You're now invited to address the panel.
I'm here on behalf of the owner residents of 57 Sir Thomas Mitchell Road, which is the next door property to 60 Lamrock. Much appreciate the intervention and toning down of the proposed development so far, but there are several issues that continue to concern us and our neighbours. The chief among these, from our point of view, at 57 Sir Thomas Mitchell, is the proposed backyard 4.5 metre swimming pool, plunge pool. The developer doesn't seem to know what to call it. If allowed, its filter and heating box will be located right on the fence line, 5 metres from the main bedrooms of our building, of three of the units there, 2, 4 and 6, while the pool itself will only be a couple of metres further away. We're concerned about the acoustic ramifications this will undoubtedly have, being in such close proximity to us and also bedrooms at our neighbours at 55 Sir Thomas Mitchell Road. We're further concerned about the fate of a number of native trees, now about 10 years old and thriving, in the backyard of 60 Lamrock Avenue. They would be doomed under the developer's plan to be replaced by a few small natives and exotics. Mainly, it appears to keep any drop foliage out of the proposed pool. There is also some confusion as to whether the current trees are already covered by a preservation order, as are some others on the side of the building that they appear to be. Also, we certainly want to keep the present section of the side fence with its lattice work on top. This being of sturdy construction, less than 10 years old, and offering considerable privacy from the backyard of 16 Lamrock Avenue. And finally, just to make a point, it can be hard not to become emotional about these sorts of things when you live somewhere for 30 years and out of the blue, a missive turns up in your letterbox outlining plans to whack up an over-the-top glass and metal edifice which might be fine for Campbell Parade but is completely out of character for what has always been a low-key, family-orientated corner of Bondi. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Mr. Safe, you appreciate that the equipment for the swimming pool has to pass a test.
Yes.
Which is beyond us. Before it's installed, it will be subject to acoustic testing.
Well,
it's got to meet standards.
I would hope so. There would be some sort of a test applied to it.
And the conditions will be provided for that.
Because once these things are in there,
Of course, yeah. But it's a separate test, and it will be conditioned to that effect.
Okay.
Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wanted to point out to you and previous speaker, council officers have recommended a condition that the landscape plan be amended so that the trees around the perimeter of the rear yard shall be retained as these trees provide privacy between the subject site. So that's recommended, and that's something the panel will take into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, the trees, they're really prospering, but the problem would seem to be that they simply, for the last couple of years, since the previous owners left the property, the place has been pretty much left to its own concerns, so it's a mess at the moment, basically. Okay, thank you very much.
The other observation I think we can make is that the fence is not part of, re-fencing is not part of the DA.
I thought it was, that they were talking about putting some sort of new metal fence down the side there.
Not along your boundary.
I might be completely... Maybe that's not happening. Yeah. There's a perfectly good fence that was only put in there 5 or 6 years ago at the moment, down that side of the building anyway.
We've heard, and I see.
Okay, appreciate that.
There's
Thank
someone
you very much.
Here for the applicant, so we might find out in a minute.
Righto.
More clearly. First of all, though, thank you, Mr. Save.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Trevor Graham. Thank you, Doctor.
No worries. Thanks. I'm here to put the views of residents at 55 Sir Thomas Mitchell Road, but also in support of our neighbours at number 57 and neighbours at 56 to 58 Lamrock Avenue. There's been a lot of concern in our close-knit neighbourhood about this proposed development. It's prompted many written responses and a petition of close to 90 signatures. I acknowledge that substantial amendments have been made to the proposed development, no doubt in part due to community concern, but also the fact the plans transgressed council guidelines. I am still, however, greatly concerned about the proposed swimming pool, and I think my views on this are reflected by my neighbours. Can I ask you who here would like a swimming pool just some metres away from your bedroom? Who would want a swimming pool that you have no control over, no right to say when it's used and for how long, so close to the place where you go to sleep, relax or rest? In my view, allowing the pool to go ahead is a recipe for neighbourhood aggro that we could all do without. Because of the geography of the adjoining residential buildings, there are 16 or more apartments that share a backyard fence line with the proposed development at 60 Lamrock Avenue. That's potentially 30 to 40 residents affected by late night noise pollution from a swimming pool. On a hot, still Bondi summer's night, we can all imagine the scenario. So my continuing objection is to the installation of the pool. Mike's already talked about the trees, so I won't go into that. We hope that this council panel hears and acts on the concerns of long-standing resident ratepayers and their families and strikes out the pool from the development application. Because your decision today has the power to sow the seeds of either community harmony or conflict. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I just make a point that Mr. Safe didn't understand on site until we explained to him? The pool is a facility for only one unit.
Well, that might be the case, but...
Just whether you wish to take that on.
Well, what happens in the instance of the ground floor apartment is rented out to Airbnb continuously.
That applies to any building, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does apply to any building, but not every building has a swimming pool in the backyard so close to our building and to our
neighbours. I just wanted to make you aware of the point that it's only one unit that can use the pool.
Yes, but it's a three-bedroom unit with a family in it. It's possible
the children renters might play in it.
Yeah, so it's just one of those situations where you have no control over who buys it, rents it.
All right, I'll see if there's any questions for you. Questions?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, thank you for your help, Doctor.
No worries.
George Karavanis, on behalf of the applicant. Are you in conjunction with Brian Myerson?
Yes, I am.
It's a double act, is it?
Yes, it is.
All right. One speaker or two?
One speaker, and
all
Mr.
Right.
Myerson can answer
the
any
one
questions.
Speaker's time has started now. We won't count your overrun on the last one.
Thank you. I've got another two to go. My name is George Karavanis, speaking on behalf of the applicant, of course. I have with me Mr. Brian Myerson of MHNDU, who's, as I said, happy to answer any questions. Firstly, we'd like to say that we're happy with the recommendation. We're not here to challenge any of the conditions. The plans have been revised to address issues raised by council, the design review panel and the surrounding residents, and comprise a scheme that's supported by the staff and now comprises a scheme that does comply with the height and is within the 15% of the VPA FSR of the council. Now, in terms of the issues raised by the residents, firstly, in terms of overlooking, as indicated, we still will maintain that landscaping at the rear. Council has conditioned by including condition 1B is that there's a planter area on the upper level attic on the balcony that will prevent someone standing right to the edge and looking down into the rear. In terms
That's
of the
a solid planter, is it?
Yes, it is. In terms of the lower on the first floor balcony, what we're on the level below, there are two windows, and we're happy to have those frosted at a height of 1.5 metres and fixed.
Have them the what? Say that
frosted
again.
And fixed.
Oh, frosted and fixed.
They're already fixed at a level of probably 1.5. So we're happy to have those frosted.
Where they were? Could you just say where they were again?
On the on the southern
elevation.
Southern elevation on the second floor. Elevation. One bedroom, one window relates to a bathroom, the other relates to a bedroom.
And that's not already conditioned. That's an additional offer, is it?
That's an additional offer. That's right.
Thank you.
In terms of the swimming pool, of course we're happy to accept any. We'd have to adhere to the conditions of achieving the acoustic goals in terms of the pool plant. Of course, the swimming pool will be used by only the one family. It is an urban situation where you will have an expectation to have some properties have a pool in the backyard, some don't. Some properties can have a swimming pool by a CDC, and that is expected in an urban environment. We don't anticipate any issues in that regard.
How deep is this so-called plunge pool?
How deep?
It's 1.4 metres at the deepest point and 1.1 at the shallow end.
Questions?
Yeah, a few.
Okay, all right. There's a few questions coming up now for you.
Okay, the elevations don't indicate what is proposed to go around the garbage bins that are located on the side boundary. Would you be able to explain to me how they're intended to be enclosed and how you're going to deal with any smells that might come from them, given they're intended to be stored externally?
So the garbage bins would be enclosed by the boundary fence on the east side,
mm-hmm.
and a masonry wall for the remainder.
So no covers proposed?
It wasn't proposed to be covered.
My next question is...
We can.
Is there any reason why it shouldn't be covered?
There's no reason at all.
My next question was really in regards to particularly GW10 19 and 18, which are on your level 2 floor plan, and they're the windows that are facing west towards number 57, Sir Thomas Mitchell. Are you able to tell me what the rooms are that have windows in Sir Thomas Mitchell on that boundary?
Sorry, can you just... which window of...
So if we have a... Just to make it easier. If we're looking at this,
I'm
interested to know what the rooms are behind those windows.
I don't think we can't be sure about that. No.
Okay, in that
they
case...
They're fairly small windows, so they may be bathrooms or kitchens, but you're not certain.
In that case, can you just explain to me what privacy measures you're intending to introduce for the GW 10, 19 and 18, given the proximity between those windows and number 57, Sir Thomas Mitchell? There's nothing indicated on the drawings, so I just want to clarify whether there is anything intended.
Yeah, we haven't proposed any particular privacy measures for those windows.
And they are louver windows? Believe.
They are double-hung windows.
Double-hung, so they're fully openable?
No, they would be limited under the new regulations to be 125 millimetres maximum, top and bottom.
So in the event that the panel was minded to require privacy measures on those windows, would you have any objection?
We have no objection to that at all.
Thank you. I had one more question, and that's the end of it. On level 2 floor plan, and I think it's also on the floor below, you're showing on bed 2 a sculpted ear window projecting from bed 2 on that level, on level 2, and on level 1 from the living dining space that's there. But I notice you've also got another window immediately adjacent to it, which is GW14 for the bedroom and GW7.
Yes.
What is the need for both of those, please?
Well, we're trying to admit sunlight in the mornings and towards the middle of the day. If you see, the projecting window captures northern sunlight, and the smaller window obviously will capture... morning sunlight in winter. So it's just an accumulation of additional solar access and natural light.
Okay, thank you.
If the panel feels that the direct window is of concern, it's probably not... let's put it this way, in both of those rooms there's sufficient other glazing to accept deletion of that window.
7.25.
GW7 and GW14 can be deleted if the panel thinks.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that.
With the deletion of GW15 and GW9, would you have concerns? Because it's my understanding that those are the windows the neighbour is concerned about in terms of casting shadow in midwinter into their private open space.
GW15...
Yeah, it's your sculpted window.
Yeah, that's the one that would capture the northern sunlight. What would be the benefit of removing that?
Well, I believe, and we will check the drawings, that it's actually taking the sun of the neighbour to the rear of you.
It's difficult to understand how that could be the case. GW15, you say?
The projection does that. When standing on the back deck of...
I think
property
that
next
wouldn't
door.
Add any solar any impact to the solar access, in my opinion.
We'll check the drawings either way.
My opinion is it doesn't add to any impacts.
Okay, thank you.
They're small projections.
Thank you.
I've got one question.
Oh, yes, one more question. Thank you,
please. Just one question regarding the pool. Just looking at the drawings, it appears on the east and south, that it's actually a solid wall, doesn't show how high it is. If you look at drawing 2402, see? And then it's glass on the other side, on the other two sides.
That's correct.
That's just a retaining, okay.
That's for the planter, the planting.
And then on the western elevation, is that the glass fence around the pool is just set back a little bit? like half a metre away from the house?
The western elevation...
Parallel to the back of the house.
Sorry, I'm having difficulty understanding the question.
Just where the gate is to go to the, into the pool.
Yes.
The is there a glass fence next to that?
Returning, yes, yeah. So that you can't gain access from the, yeah, the sliding door. Yeah, correct.
That was all.
The issue was raised about the fence, and the question was whether the fence is to remain, whereas we read the plans as there being a suggestion there's going to be a metal fence. Mm-hmm. Has there been any discussion with the neighbours about that?
Not as far as I'm aware. And
would it be a dividing fence, would it not?
Yes, it would be, but we're happy to have discussions with the neighbours and even with a view to retaining the existing fence.
So if we can, if we were sympathetic to that submission, yeah, you would not raise any objection?
We would not.
It even saves some money.
For my client, perhaps. Yes.
Any further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, thank you, Peter.
The pool plan enclosure, just looking at the western elevation, would seem to indicate that because of the change in level, the roof of the pool plant would in fact be below the ground level of the adjoining property.
Sorry, Peter, the...
On the western elevation, just
yes,
looking at the ground line, the existing,
yes,
ground line,
yes,
and then that the pool plant enclosure is below that.
It is. It's almost at the ground level, the existing ground level of the neighbour.
It is below the existing ground level. Right?
Well, the floor of the pool plant is below, and
yeah,
the roof
and the
of
roof
the pool
is,
plant is just slightly,
yeah,
above.
And I take it the what appears to be, could be a door or a,
yes,
or a vent, is not really in the western elevation, it would be in the eastern elevation.
It faces the pool, yes.
It faces the pool.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll look hard to see if there's another location for the pool plant enclosure, but...
I mean, my feeling, if the pool plan enclosure would be a concrete block structure, core filled, it would not admit noise to the neighbour. The person that would, and also those doors would be acoustically rated as well. So my view is that's probably the best location for the neighbours in terms of acoustics for the pool plant. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
The panel will consider. Moves us on to item number 6, which is 93 Hardy Street, Dover Heights. Demolition of an existing building. Two-part, three-storey dwelling with roof, terrace and swimming pool. And Mrs. Livney is listed to speak. Mrs. Livney here? No? All right. Then it just moves us back to Mr. Karavanis again. You want to talk us out of it this time, do you?
Yeah, I'm just going solo this time. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't wish to elaborate on this matter. All I need to say is that, of course, I'm speaking in support of the application on behalf of the applicant. We're happy with the report recommendation, do not wish to challenge any of the conditions. There have been a couple of conditions that do modify the building, including the increase in the rear setback and a removal of a stair enclosure on the top, but we're not challenging those. That has resulted in a reduction in FSR, bringing down the building to a FSR greater than, no greater than 10%.
And I think we probably visited Mrs. Levinney's site. It's the property when you're facing on the left-hand side.
Right.
And
so the property to the north?
That's what we visited, and there appears to be a benefit to that property in terms of that setback on the upper level.
That's right, and we're not challenging that.
So you're not challenging that?
No.
Right.
So
thank
happy
you
to answer any questions if there are
right
of the panel. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right. All right, thank you,
thank you.
Mr. Karavanis. Moving on to number 7, for just fleetingly, 6 Robert Street, Dover Heights. We've inspected the property. There is no person registered to speak, so that there are no submissions received. So we move on to item number 8, relating to the property 701 to 707 Old South Head Road, Vaucluse. Section 96 modification, in summary, in adding an additional 3 units and making some internal alterations. And the person listed to speak as an objector is Bram Page. Thank you, Mr. Page.
Panel, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. Could I just say that I wasn't given any notification of this hearing until an email from Mr. Faruqi at about 6:45 last night, so I've just been scrambling.
Okay, well, that's okay. You go straight ahead. Unfortunately, or fortunately, have no control over those matters.
We're outside
the loop on that.
I'm doing my
best. So make a complaint to someone else.
No, I understand that. Just to give you a bit of background.
Yes, all right. Off you go, though.
Thank you.
We're here to listen to you, Mr. Page.
Thanks very much.
And your time, we've already wasted 20 seconds. I'll get that back for you.
Thank you. Look, this is about view loss for me. By way of background, because it was a different panel, obviously, who heard the original DA. The DA...
You're immediately behind, are you?
Yes. We're immediately across the road to the west, on the other side of Old South Head Road. And I would have liked for you to have inspected my property this morning, but obviously I ran out of time to organise that as well. Right. If I can, just provide you... Thanks.
Officer will bring it up to us.
That's an illustration of the view loss that I'm going to suffer as a result of the DA, which was approved.
Based on your assessment, yes.
That's correct. And I'll just, in relation to that... I'll just say that there's actually never been... I've done my view loss assessment, which you've got in front of you, the applicant's done theirs, but there's never actually been a proper... objective, independent view loss assessment done, and that's something which we've continually asked for at all stages, but it's never been afforded to us. When the original application was being assessed, council did ask the applicant to amend the roof form in order to improve view sharing and minimise view loss, and in response to that, the applicant inserted... We asked for a flat roof, but rather than provide us with a flat roof, the applicant inserted 2 slots into the roof form. And in this section 96, so that was the response, and as council said in its assessment here, that was a skillful design of the roof in their view to improve the view sharing situation. In this current section 96 application, one of those view slots has been deleted, and it needs to be deleted in order to provide a lobby area for these new units that have now been inserted into the roof. In council's assessment, they've made the assertion, and we don't quite understand how they've been able to arrive at this assertion, that the southern slot that's being deleted effectively doesn't matter. They're saying that it's not the slot that improves things. It's a bit of a contradiction to say, on the one hand, the slots were a skillful design to improve view sharing, but on the other hand, only one of them ever mattered anyway. Our detailed objection, which you've got, says quite the opposite. And I can tell you from where I am on my balcony that it is in fact the southernmost roof slot that provides the greatest benefit in terms of improving my view sharing situation. So in effect, the Section 96 modification that you've got there is a massive step backwards for me in terms of the slight improvements that were made to the roof form.
You're in Willara, aren't you?
Yeah, we're in a different council, that's
and
right.
And you've got an approval for...
An attached dual occupancy development.
And you've raised the level?
No, well, I've tried to.
I've put in a modification to raise.
I've got a section 96.
Has that been approved?
No.
I see. No, so that's extant, is it?
I was asked to withdraw it and resubmit with some pretty substantial
and
changes.
So that there's no confusion,
yes.
This diagram here that said to demonstrate the imposition of the building.
Yes.
Is that at a level after you've raised it, or...?
That's at a level
as it is, or
no, that's
as proposed to be, or
as per the DA approval that I've got at the moment, but not as per the section 96 modification.
It seems
that I've
to be
tried.
Taken from something that's existing.
it's from a standing position on the balcony
of an existing building
of an
that's
existing
going to
balcony,
be demolished,
which is the same as the new balcony that'll be going on.
I see.
As per the current approval, what I'm trying to do with my section 96 modification is lift my floor up.
To get over the development?
Well, to some extent.
To some extent.
And as I said, council wouldn't support the section 96 that I lodged, and they asked me to withdraw it and re-lodge, which I've now done. So I don't know where I am on that. Look, I appreciate time is short. Panel, what I've proposed...
Well, you need to go to your summing up.
Yep, which I'm doing now. Mr. Faruqi, if I could again ask you. What I'm proposing here, look, you've got a... an approval is six copies of that, I'm sorry, but that's for yeah. You've essentially got a proposal here which is 525 square metres over the allowable floor space ratio, and in order to achieve those new units on the top floor, they're removing a view slot. What I've proposed there is a very modest modification to the plan, which I'm hopeful the panel...
But we'll look at it.
Have a look at it. It would only remove something like 70 square metres of a total of 525 over the FSR, but it would make a very big difference to the view loss.
Well, I'll just see if anyone wants to question you about this further submission in writing. Just give the panel an opportunity to look at it, see if there's any questions.
The number of units would be exactly the same.
Yeah, just let us absorb it, first of all.
Thank you.
So your preference is to have the view gap that was there previously still filled in, but to have the roof forms or the closures that were in the previous approval.
I guess what I'm doing is I'm accepting the fact that without filling in...
If you could just listen to what was being put to you before you interrupt.
So the orange area, which is the area to the north, that was deleted so that you get effectively a flat roof form from the previous DA in that location.
At that end, yes.
Go on, Peter.
With this guy, that
it's a whopper.
Doesn't reflect some of the...
No, it doesn't.
Out, that's a,
correct.
Yeah, so there is more of the view available.
Where the slots were added in, that's correct.
Slot, and also at the front.
No, only with...
This is the plan which I own.
Yeah.
Shows a drop down and then up and then a slot. Whereas the approved plan came up to there.
Slightly higher, that's correct. Yeah, because when all the floors were changed and compressed below, that's right. Yes.
And the diagram that Mr. Brennan showed you a minute ago that you produced, you drew that freehand, did you?
No, I didn't. My consultant, James Litters from Design Collaborative, prepared that on my behalf as part of my submission to the original DA.
Righto. What's his qualification?
He's
a planner, is he? Oh, he must be very good. Any further questions? Anybody raising for Mr. Page?
So may I just ask...
You can't ask anything, you can...
sorry, just to point out, there is a reference in this planning report to a figure 7 that talks about the roof slots, where there's a discussion about the or an assertion that my view situation is improved. In fact, there is no figure 7, and on page 314 you've effectively got figure 6 repeated twice, and so there doesn't seem to be any
I don't think I noticed that
any figure that's there's a reference to a figure 7 that apparently demonstrates that the slot they're filling in won't have any impact on me, but it actually doesn't seem to be there, which is, I guess, part of our concern, is that there seems to be some assertions and sweeping dismissal of our view loss issue without any...
Well, we'll get some clarification of that in a minute. But yes, Mr. Brennan.
Through you, Mr. Chair. With that slot, is your understanding, is that would that preserve more water view, or would you actually get the, because we haven't been to your property, the interface of land and water?
No, but on the at the northern end, it would be an interface of land and water to some. As I said, it's very hard without having a proper view analysis to know exactly what it will do. But okay. At the northern end, there would be some interface of land and water, I think, I hope. At the southern end, it is purely ocean that I'll see through that southern slot.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Page.
Thank you.
Mr. Karavanis, with Mr. Myerson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Starsky and Hutch.
This is my final address. And again, speaking on behalf of the applicant, and Mr. Myerson is here to assist me. We don't wish to add anything further in terms of the council officer's report. We're happy with it and its thorough assessment.
As you go through, Mr. Karavanis, have you got the material before you that Mr. Page gave us?
Yes, Mr. Myerson.
You've
does.
Been blessed with that. All right, thank you. So it would be helpful if you addressed it.
Yes, Mr. Myerson will go through that.
Thank you.
I suppose from our position, highlighting the issue of view loss, that if I can draw your attention to page 314 of the council officer's report, that demonstrates the view difference between the...
Could you speak up? I don't think it's being amplified. It's certainly being recorded, but
I'm happy to speak
you.
Up. On page 314 of the council officer's report, there are two figures that demonstrate the difference between the approval and the proposal in respect of the view from number 22 Clarendon Street. And that clearly demonstrates that there isn't really any significant view loss between the two. That is a diagram that was prepared by Brian Myerson's office based on the figures and the material that they do have. I haven't seen the view montage that was prepared, or Mr. Littis. Mr. Littis is...
Harith.
Mr. Littis is a town planner like myself, and we don't normally do view montages. Thank you. And the way that I look at the Littis drawing, I mean, that just looks like a box which is approximated rather than something that's more... that more follows the profile of the approved and proposed building. I'll let Mr. Myerson go through the implications of the objector's suggestion in terms of view loss.
Well, what I'd like to say is the view loss diagram given to me now seems not to be based on detailed modelling of our proposal, whereas our detailed modelling, which is on page 314 of the report, shows clearly that this new...
calling up for a coloured copy of that, because the copy we have in front of us at the moment is black and white.
I can give you a coloured copy.
Can you give us a moment?
Yes.
That's the original error. It's gone. Yeah. That's additional, is it?
That was approved.
Yeah.
So there's been here that has improved.
DA22E.
Yes, that's a relevant drawing as well, because...
That shows, we're reading that on the basis that the blue shaded area...
Yes.
...is additional.
No, it's a reduction. No,
I'm sorry.
It's additional reduction. View. It's additional reduction. View, yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I said it around the wrong way. All right.
And Mr. Chair, if you're still on that elevation, it's quite faint, but there is an arrow that points down, indicating the slot that's being filled in. And it's marked E slot.
Slot reallocated.
To lobby space. And I have a colour copy of that if you'd like to see that.
That's the blue. Yeah, this one's gone. See that? Yeah, it's gone. I just don't quite understand. Yes, thank you.
Mr. Chair, a question. And we probably need to look at a bigger version of this.
We can
see exactly how much water this southern slot.
It's in actual fact.
It's 22E.
It's an oblique view, so the slot to the south doesn't really give anything. Have a look. The colour is helpful. We get nothing wrong.
Yeah, not for Mr. Page. It is oblique, so, yeah.
There's what we were looking at on the site. Yes, right, thanks. Just give us a moment, Mr. Caravanas.
Mr. Caravans, from your footprint view analysis, the above the building, particularly the southern end of the building, that you actually can still see water between top of the building and the horizon. That's my reading.
That's correct.
Correct, yes.
Sorry, I guess my other question, while I've got the mic open, is that the council had earlier proposed a condition, the panel, in approving this application requiring a reduction of 300 millimetres in height.
Yes.
Of that front cholesterol yes. window, and it's, you haven't addressed that, but have you got a comment to make?
That has been incorporated into this set of drawings and this application, that 300 millimetre reduction in height.
To report it to us, it hasn't been. Our understanding is that 300 metres has not been reduced. Millimetres has not been reduced.
My understanding is that it has.
We're working on that assumption at the moment.
Your reasons indicate it hasn't, because the alignment of the history roof is the same in your drawings. You're showing the reduction in the slots, but not across the main body of the roof.
I would have to retrieve the previous set of drawings to clarify that, but our understanding, and I have my colleague who's done the drawings is right here, and he's confirmed that to me.
Well,
yeah,
that's...
If you look, for instance, at DA20E, which is your section A, the profile of the dotted line of the previous DA... appears, or the approved DA, appears to coincide with the alignment of the roof in section.
But which drawing are you referring to?
20E.
20E. So I'm looking at 20E. There's a blue line, it says building outline of approved DA, and then we have this proposal reduces that, that's shown.
No, no, I'm but looking at where you've actually got the section going.
The section taken.
L3 lobby, for instance. It appears to align.
Are you looking at DA 20E?
Okay. But would you have an issue with the overrun there? Okay, so I understand what you're saying. Where the black section lines are, yeah, that should also be reduced by 300. But we have, in, throughout the remainder, that's just because of the lift overrun. But I've just confirmed with Mike that we could do that.
You've just confirmed what? You died away, Mr. Myers.
I've just confirmed that we could reduce that parapet line also by 300.
The top parapet.
That roof RL that says 73.980
could come down to 73.680, could
yes,
it?
Yes, correct.
Does that answer the question?
That was the intent of the condition to reduce it to the
left over on the street.
Yeah, and they haven't done it.
They haven't done it because the roof goes like this.
Yeah.
The canister window goes like this. Mm. That's the RL.
So if that was reduced.
That was supposed to be reduced here by 300.
Yeah. So
that's the initial.
So if that was reduced to there, as he just said it can be, that does it. So what you're saying on DA 20E, that if the figure roof RL 73980 is changed to 73680 and that black line is brought down,
yes,
accordingly, that would be meeting the proposed condition by council.
Yes.
And that it hasn't been done on the plan.
No, I agree.
No.
And you can see it in the east elevation as well. So that would need to be reduced by 300 mils as well. No, I acknowledge that. It says current
on the elevation, the
building outline of current
is 7890. Show me the elevation.
I'm totally confused, but that's usual.
Yes.
You have? Good.
The skylight should have been come like this to come.
Bradley has been harassed. East, same thing.
As we've done here, but to do
yeah.
It there. Yeah, okay. Okay.
I've actually got a couple of other questions for you that aren't related to the views. I noticed that...
Just before that happens, that's an agreement, is it?
Yes.
That if the panel decides that that should go down by 300... That's acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Righto. Thank you, Morish.
Okay. So I noticed that part of the way that you've managed to drop the level to make some of these changes happen and to get the additional level in is through actually dropping the ground level of all the apartments. I think it starts at a drop of 800 millimetres lower into the site for the ground floor, and then obviously that changes as you go up the building. It's my understanding, having visited the site today, that that actually results in two subterranean units, because you are now putting a unit where there was plant previously, which means that based on your sections, I think it's more than a story below grade. Is that correct? So I'm talking in relation to the new unit G04.
Well, it would be 1.8 metres, 1.7 metres below the existing ground line.
Because when I look at your west elevation, which I believe is the street elevation, if I'm reading your drawings correctly, which is on DA 22E. When I look at the ground floor level relative to how you've shown the section through the street,
we appear to be considerably lower than that.
But that's because of the fall of the cross fall of the land. The street is much higher. It's elevated, even in comparison to the ground levels of the site.
Sure, but the street is where the light and air and openness is going to come from. So it means that we've effectively got an apartment that is buried a story down below street level, with bridges going over the top of it.
1.7 is effectively the whole of the apartment, isn't it?
Well,
it's the level, but I think it's deeper than that. Relative to the street,
one point seven would be the same as a boundary fence of 1.8 metres.
So your section doesn't actually go through that unit?
No, it doesn't. But where that section is, where that apartment is, there's about a 11 metre frontage of that apartment. If you look at DA11E, and then it has a terrace about 4 metres by 11 metres. Before, and that's quite, and the bridge to the north is another 2.5 metres beyond that.
That's just got a standard balustrade height, I assume.
Yes.
The bridge, yeah. So well, I'm looking also at your DA25, which is your south elevation, and again, looking towards the street end, it appears to be indicating that the ground level is considerably lowered in that position, and you've got the overhanging kind of ear elements that come over the top of that unit as well.
Yeah, those angled balconies do overhang that terrace, but not totally. So that terrace effectively has a landscape zone of another 4 metres before you get to the street boundary. And that would be terraced down. So I would say that the light and access, afternoon light and sunlight into that patio and those rooms would be almost as if you were in an apartment or a house with a garden, with a boundary fence of 1.8 metres.
One other question I have. My other understanding from, I wasn't on the panel when this came up previously, mm-hmm. is that the clerestories were justified on the basis that they were providing amenity to the apartments at the southern portion or the rear of the site, which is basically the main street itself. Old South Head Road, it's my understanding they were put there to help with light to the back of them.
Yes.
So how are you now dealing with the amenity of those apartments that have now lost those clerestories?
Apartments' depths have been reduced,
have they?
I understand. So the kitchens are not...
We haven't got the old drawings, so we can't...
I understand the kitchens are not as deep in that plan.
Okay. Those are my questions.
Thank you. And also, just to add that there still is a clerestory, and we've achieved some of that height gain by adjusting other levels, not just that clerestory. There's still a raked ceiling.
No, I understand that.
Yeah. Anything further? Yes, thank you, Mr. Myerson.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Caravanas. That's the last item. The meeting is now closed and the panel will adjourn to continue the meeting and make its assessments and determination. You can leave your things here if you want to.
consideration of... I'm now opening the meeting for consideration by the panel of the various development applications before it on the 18th of April 2018. Various matters have been the subject of intense discussion informally, and the results of that discussion have become the decisions of the panel, as are now reflected in a copy of the minutes which has been produced to this formal part of the meeting, which the meeting approves. End. At 4:50 p.m. on the same day.